Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, and just outside Seattle in the United States and North America. And for those of you who are off-planet, we're in the Milky Way galaxy. Thanks to your help, we are the fastest-growing UFO and metaphysical radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. And I just want to thank you so much for all your support. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this planet a much better and much happier place, and I know with your help we'll be able to do it. We are listener-supported and by donations and sponsors, and so your help is really appreciated. If you'd like to donate to help support the program, please go to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just go to the donate button. Your support is really appreciated. Today we've got an incredible lineup of people that's truly out of this world. We'll be having on the first person to speak just a few minutes will be Rob Potter. He's having an amazing UFO conference in Shasta, in the Mount Shasta area during the third week of August. Right after that, for the full hour, we'll be having James Gillian and my friend Greg Sullivan from Japan. James has a wonderful UFO ranch down in Southwest Washington in Trout Lake, Washington, that I was at recently, and it was just truly an amazing experience. For those who have doubts, any doubts about whether there's any life out there beyond this planet, I urge you to all to visit James's E-SETI Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington. It's an amazing place. When I was there, I saw close to 24 UFOs. I also had the experience of 7 Pleiadian orbs coming down in his prayer circle, and actually I saw the orbs along with everybody else. And they did healing work. I'd had a really busy last couple of weeks, and my energy was low. And they came down to give me a wonderful healing, and I've been feeling great ever since. So for those naysayers who don't believe in UFOs, I urge you all to definitely check out James's wonderful farm. But first, before we go on any further, I just want to bring on Rob Potter for a few minutes to talk about his wonderful UFO conference. Rob, are you there, my friend?
I'm here.
Great. Rob, if you could tell my many listeners around the globe a little bit about your conference you're having in the third week of August at Mount Shasta.
Yeah, this is my third annual Mount Shasta Summer Conference. We've been growing every year. Last year was quite the event. James was there. We had Alfred Lamont Weber and Andrew Bisago, Tricia McCannon, Byron Belitos, myself, Michael Allegian, and quite a few other wonderful people there. It was a beautiful event. I learned a lot. I'm kind of new to the larger venues. I've done smaller ones, and this year we got a really nice, a much better location. It's completely off the grid there, about a mile below Castle Lake on the right-hand side there. Absolutely gorgeous venue site with plenty of room for people with camping rigs, motorhomes, vans, trucks, even fancy fifth wheels, whatever you got, we can put you up there. And we have campsites for tents, too. So this summer is going to be quite good. We're completely off the grid. They have their own battery system and generator there. So we have a beautiful, brand-new conference hall that should be able to fit everyone in there. And we have showers on site and bathrooms, of course. And there's plenty of tent camping as well. We are planning some wonderful excursions to Castle Lake kind of on a daily basis. That's where a lot of people will be going, and I'm sure having lunch and breaks. It's such a short trip. We will have food on site, breakfast, lunch, and we'll be probably bringing in dinners from outside, and have a wonderful event yourself. We'll be there. You'll be there, Ted, and of course, actually, James is going to be there again this year. And we had last year James did a skywatch, which was fantastic. I personally have seen that a lot. I didn't actually go out and see it, but I was a couple friends, and some people were kind of skeptic, and they had to admit. They bowed down to the fact that they could not explain the aerial phenomenon that took place. You have lots of lasers shooting in the sky and that kind of stuff. And with James and other contactees. We have lots of acknowledgement now from our benevolent space family and friends who will let you know that they're real and they're there. And this is different than a government. The government has plenty of spaceships for those of you who are following the latest stuff. So this is different. You will actually, because the government isn't telepathic and they can't hear your voice from that far away. So we know the benevolents are making their appearance known. So James will be there with another wonderful presentation, and we'll have also, he will have his Skywatch night. And we're going to have a screening of the movie called Stranger at the Pentagon by Craig Campobasso, based on the book by Frank Stranges, chronicling his accounts with Commander Valiant Thor, who I've had some experiences with myself personally. And we will also have Scott Lemrill, who's a regular on your show, with his information being shared there. We will also have Michael Sala, exopolitics.org, an absolutely wonderful, one of the best UFO reporters there is, I believe, today is Michael Sala. Wendell Stevens probably was the best researcher, I think, ever, but Michael Sala, in my opinion, is probably the best writer on extraterrestrial activity. He keeps a very sympathetic, you can balance to you, and he's been in dialogues with Corey, the good ET, who is a guy who I actually have been privileged to be on the phone with for 3 hours. This is a very nice guy, interesting stuff going on there with Corey. I hope to have him on my show as well, and if I get a hold of him, Ted, I'll send him your way too. He's very, let's just say he's up to his neck, I would say waist, but he's up to his neck in alligators. Literally. So he's got a lot going on, but we were hoping he might pop in, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Okay. Well, Rob, I appreciate you so much coming on, my friend. I know you have an incredible a lot of stuff to say, but I want to thank you so much for telling people about.
I better share that we have Alex Collier coming on, and we also have Omnek.
Right, right.
The woman from Venus, and for those of your listeners who don't know, she actually was born on the interior of Venus on the astral plane,
right?
And actually fulfilled some karmic obligations by saying some mantras and taking on a physical form and coming to the Earth some 40 years ago as a small child, and she'll be appearing. So if you've ever wanted to actually meet an extraterrestrial, although many of you may have already unknowingly, the very first official public ambassador from Venus, she holds no secret scientific information, and
Rob,
she's an adult member. Absolutely adorable, will be there.
Absolutely. Rob, I'm sorry we're going to have to go, in fairness to my guests, but I'd like to have you on a week from today, too. We'll talk about more about your wonderful conference. And on my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, if you go to Summer 2015 Events, you'll find all the information about James's conference there. And if anybody has any questions, you can email certainly Rob or email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And Rob, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. I'll have you on again a week from today, and we'll talk more about your conference.
Okay, thank you very much. And James, if you could give me a call when you're done, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Rob. James, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Welcome to the program, my friend. Is Greg there?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Great. You've got a real good Skype connection.
Oh, yeah.
When Skype works, it's wonderful.
It is.
Real quick, before we begin, I just want to say thank you to everyone who supports the program, including the Inspired Crystal Shop in Broadway in Tacoma, Brady's Oysters in Westport, Washington, the Tokelin Inn in Tokelin, Washington. I want to make a pitch as well for the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Club. They're having a wonderful psychic fair on July 25th at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. It's free. I'll be there as a reader. And I just want to thank everyone for supporting the show. I have a new column on my webpage called Ask Ted. When you click on the website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and go to About Us, and on the right side, you'll see Ask Ted for free spiritual help. I also do psychic readings, and my accuracy rate's between 90 to 100%. So if you're interested, please get a hold of me. Anyway, now let's go on to our wonderful guests. James, you've been an interesting fellow. I visited your wonderful Isetti Ranch, UFO Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington. And I was there one night, and we did a healing as well as we saw all kinds of UFOs. James, how did you ever get interested in this area?
Well, I had contact all my life, basically. I had a near-death experience when I was 5 years old, several of them actually. And I was in a kind of in-between worlds in a coma. I had a bronchial pneumonia, and they told me I wasn't going to make it through the night. They kept telling my parents that, actually. And I had a woman appear to me all dressed in blue, and she kept talking to me and would stroke my head. And at the end, she gave me a substance that was kind of like ice cream, but it wasn't cold. It was white, and told me to eat it, and so I did. And then I was never missed a day of school after that. So it was amazing healing. And, I want to do a disclaimer. I'm not Catholic, but it turned out to be Mother Mary. She's a universal being and really cares for the children. But she was the one that appeared to me. I didn't even know who she was until later on in life. But that was part of it. I was raised in the high desert in Apple Valley, California. We slept outside all the time as kids, and we saw so much activity that it was just an accepted thing there. Most people in the high desert, know that UFOs exist. And I wasn't too far from the Integratron and all the other activity going on there, and Otis Carr and Ralph Ring, and they're building their ships over there right down the street from us. So there's always been a lot of info, around UFOs. And my grandmother and grandfather were heavily involved in Roswell as well.
Fascinating. Now, were you said your grandparents, they saw Roswell or were lived in the area, James?
Well, yeah, my they owned the hardware store there, and my grandmother was a school teacher, and so she was like the matriarch, of the area. And the two sheriffs, the responders that were first on the scene, came to her right after the event, and she said they couldn't even hold a cup of coffee. They were white and shaking, and they told her, they said, we have to tell somebody about it. They were told not to mention this to anybody, but they actually did confide in her, and they told her, her name was Elizabeth, and they said, Elizabeth, we're not alone,
Yeah, that's right.
And my grandmother said, well, why would we be alone? She said, it's such an infinite universe out there. She said, it doesn't make any sense that we would be alone.
Well, there's something really funny. When I was there with Greg, and Greg, I'll bring you on in a second, my friend.
Okay.
When I was there, there was an Australian film crew. I believe the gentleman's name is Peter Slatterly.
Yeah.
And he produced a YouTube, and I've watched the YouTube. Let me get the site for the YouTube here. It's, let's see if I can find it. I do have the, I tell you what, if you go to my Facebook page at Out of This World Radio, or just Ted Marr, and I have a weekly column there, right there on my Facebook update, which was updated yesterday. There's a reference to the YouTube. And one of the funny things that you said, James, and I have to quote you on this, you said, you're so funny, you said, resistance is futile. And that's that, of course, is a line from Star Trek. But you said, you said that in the contents of the white light will triumph over the dark. And that this planet is even though we have, of course, challenges here, I'm not saying we don't, but I think this planet is destined to become a far better and a far happier place than it has been for the past, I don't know how many millennia. But we're on the precipice of doing that, and you're one of the people leading the way, James, in raising consciousness. Thank you. And you too, Greg.
You're welcome. Yeah.
And you too. Thank you. But before I go much further, I want to bring on Greg Sullivan. He's Jay Seti, with Japan. He has a long time interest in life outside of this planet. He regularly takes tour groups from Japan to visit the Isetti UFO Ranch in Washington State at James's wonderful place. And anyway, I also met Greg in Tokyo when I was there taking the Hado School. I also did several seminars in Tokyo when I was there channeling messages from Dr. Moto. But Greg, welcome to the program. I'm so happy you could come on today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good morning, Tandy. Good morning, James. Hi. Finally just got over the jet lag from our tour last week, yesterday. So it was quite an amazing meeting of minds with both of you guys, and then Peter and Sol from Australia there. So I've been showing everyone the picture of that beautiful sunset we had, that first night you were there, Ted.
Oh, yeah.
Every time we take a trip out to the ranch, my first visit there was in 2007, and it was a huge step in my awakening, of course, and the beginning of this journey. We're coming up on the fifth anniversary of Jay Seti here this month, at my birthday.
Congratulations and happy birthday.
I know, James, is yours the 22nd or 23rd, was it, James?
22nd.
Yeah, well, and, Dr. Emoto's birthday is the 22nd.
That's right.
So there's a lot of cancers in this field.
Right,
yeah, Mary,
right.
Mary Magdalene as well. Mary Magdalene.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, all my listeners, I firmly believe in the work of Dr. Emoto, of course, and the power of intent. So all my listeners around the world, from Seattle to Europe, to Asia, certainly in Japan and Australia, Central and South America and Africa, I want to wish all of us to wish a very happy birthday, both to James, Greg, Dr. Emoto, and of course to Mary Magdalene as well, because you guys all share the same month. And Greg, since I don't speak Japanese, I know you do, could you please say good morning to everyone on the show in Japanese? A lot of listeners in Japan in deference, and also say a special hello to the Emoto Emoto office as well. If you could say that in Japanese, I'd appreciate it.
Sure thing. Ah, 皆さんおはようございます。Tokyo から放送してますんで。J セティの代表のサリボン、グレゴリー・サリボンと申します。よろしくお願いします。Okay,
Okay, thank you. And I want to say arigato too to my wonderful listeners in Japan, and especially the wonderful Emoto office, the Emoto Peace Project. What I was going to say is that there's so much to talk about. There's a friend of yours that I met in Olympia recently, James, named Darren. I won't say his last name for privacy, but Darren. And he'd been to your wonderful ranch before, and he actually purchased a set of night vision goggles like the ones you have, high definition. And he took me out recently, and I know that you do this as well at your ranch. But the fascinating thing is that when you look through these night vision goggles at your ranch, you see all these orbs floating around everywhere. And the orbs, James, as I understand it, they can be nature spirits, they can be animal spirits, they can be humans, they can be ETs, but they're in another dimension. And you actually have a vortex on your ranch, which you say is a healing vortex, full of Tibetan prayer flags. And I was there the night with Greg and you, of course, and a lot of other people from Japan and Australia. And you had called down to a Pleiadian ship or the Galactic Alliance, actually, to benevolent ETs to come down and give us some healing. And I was there when I physically saw seven orbs from this Pleiadian. You said it was a plasma craft in the fifth and sixth dimension. Come down, they did healing on all of us, and I actually physically saw the orbs. You can also see the orbs too, as well as through these night vision goggles. I'd love to, if you could, I know you have lots of stories, James, I'd love to hear some of them.
Yeah. What I'd like to hear is have Greg talk about the last night that he was there with his group. It was just phenomenal. Yeah, we had so much activity there that last night. They were just flying everywhere, powering up, lighting up, there's orbs everywhere, and just crazy things happening.
Absolutely. And if you go to that YouTube video, if you go to my Facebook page, Ted Marr, or you look up Out of This World Radio, there's a link to it. Peter Slattery from Australia has already put it on the web. And it's Greg, I think you sent it to my friend Michiko, and she sent it to me, and I looked at it, and it's just fascinating because you spotted this one UFO flying through the skies, and then you got everybody to say power up, and it powered up. It got very, very bright, and everybody gave it a big cheer, saying "Yay!" Thank you. So for people out there who are skeptics, I don't want to criticize too much Coast to Coast because I think it's a good program. It brings on a lot of points of view. But they sometimes bring on people who have doubts about whether there's life out there. And for those who have doubts, just throw them out the window because the universe is absolutely teeming with life, absolutely teeming life. And you can see that. One thing, James, I want you to describe is your ranch is actually at the foot of Mount Adams, isn't it? It's in a large field.
Yeah.
And you get a panoramic view of the sky at night. And on a clear night, you see all kinds of cool stuff, don't you?
Oh, yeah, it's a stargate. It's definitely a stargate. And even the ETs and readings that aren't even associated with this have come through others with specific information, you know, about the stargate. So they refer to it as a stargate as well. And it's on two ley lines that cross. So I call one of the ley lines is like an orb highway because there's just, you know, just a freeway of orbs coming through there. And we've shown ways that we can actually kind of a spiritual technology in a way that opens up the fourth dimension so people can see it. And we use an infrared spotlight and then the military, you know, night vision goggles, the third generation one.
Right.
And you can actually see the orbs just in real time flying around and they still stop. And if you play with them, you get excited, they stop and they come back and they'll bounce around you or come right up to the front of the goggles and play with you. It's pretty interesting, and it just blows people's minds when they see, you know, that these things are for real and they're not just artifacts, as a lot of people would try to, you know, to dismiss them.
Well, you know, I have to tell you a quick story. I do readings for people, and often I will get one spouse, let's say a couple's married, I'll get one spouse, typically the wife, but not always, but let's say the wife comes to see me, and she's having some troubles, and she wants to have like a psychic reading, so I give her a reading. And she says, "Oh, my husband doesn't believe in it." And for all future readings that I do for couples, if one spouse or partner doesn't believe in it, I'm going to tell them to visit your ranch because they can see into the other side. And
yeah.
Because the spirit world is amazing. It's totally vast. Just because you can't see it in this third dimension with your eyesight doesn't mean it doesn't exist because you've got the technology to actually see into these other dimensions, which I find just incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah, it straightens out the skeptics. I always tell people that East City Ranch is where skeptics come to die, you know, because,
yeah,
you know, if they have any kind of an open mind whatsoever and they want to actually explore the possibilities, they're going to see things there. But every once in a while, we have somebody that comes on the ranch that has just got a really bad attitude and they kind of ruin it for other people. And
yeah.
And we invite them, you know, if you're not going to come with an open mind and a loving heart, pure intent, just stay home, you know, because, you know, it's not our job to prove something to you, but the evidence is there if you really want to have the experience.
Now, one thing, too, I want to mention very importantly, Greg, when you were there with your Japanese friends and the Australian group that night when we were all there, one of the things I think we saw that night were lights coming in and out of the mountain. Mount Adams. And I'm sure both of you have a lot to say about that, James, because I know you and Greg, because that actually is a portal into another dimension, isn't it, where UFO craft actually go into the mountain, into another area?
Yeah, it's an opening that goes into the interior, the inner earth, and there's a long legend of a crystal city existing underneath the mountain where the Native Americans used to take their sick and wounded up there, and they would take them inside. And they would come back out in just a very short time, completely healed, you know, broken bones, everything. It didn't matter. But they said they had to close the door because the technology was getting out of hand here on the surface. And you know, they had other forces that were trying to mess with them. So they had to close off communication for now. But it opens up and ships come out and beings come out of it and just all kinds of crazy things. And it'd be good to hear what Greg has to say, especially about the last night. It was just crazy, the last night they were there.
Yeah, Greg, please share your comments, my friend. I know you have a lot to say about that. Yeah, well, we'll get Greg back on here in just a second.
Okay.
Anyway, what I was going to say, James, is that I think now the way Rob has talked to me before, I've talked to him on the phone. I'll be actually going to Mount Shasta. It's the third week of August next month. For those interested, just send me an email. I can send you the information at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. But I'll be one of the speakers down there. But from the way Rob has talked, James, and I know your ET friends probably have a lot to say about this, is that also a portal down at Mount Shasta as well to an old Lemurian city?
Yeah, it is. And I've seen the beings. I've been up there a few times up on the mountain. And I actually had an encounter with one of the beings, a very tall, white-haired woman, or blonde, you know, more white than blonde, and wearing all white. It was beautiful, but she was just standing there in the distance, and I saw her, and she walked over to all these other people that were down below and put her hands out, was standing right next to them, kind of gives them a blessing, and then she walked past by me. I was up high, you know, I was doing a meditation, like a vision quest, and I watched her walking around and, you know, to all these people, and so I came back down the hill, and I said, who was that woman, you know, that you were talking to? And nobody saw her. And
really?
they were looking right at her. There's no way they could have missed her. And it was on, they were sitting on a picnic bench, and she walked right up to them and had her hands out doing a blessing on them. But not one person out of the 9 friends that I had that were at the picnic table, not one person saw her.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Now, the other thing, too, I don't want to forget. Oh, before we go any further, I just want to mention that for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle, in North America, on planet Earth in the Milky Way galaxy. And we have a truly out of this world interview now with James Gillian, live from Trout Lake, Washington, at his East SETI UFO ranch. And as well as Greg Sullivan, a wonderful guy from J-SETI in Japan. What I was going to ask is not to forget our Sasquatch friends, but have you seen Sasquatch as well down there on your ranch?
Oh, yeah. It's not just me, but quite a few people have seen. We have a young one, a very young one, and he's about 6 foot tall. He ran up to Clyde Lewis, you know, and he's got Ground
uh-huh.
Zero radio
uh-huh.
there, and he ran right up to him. Skidded, you know, slid, stopped, smiled at him, you know, and then took off running the other way. And I thought going away, I didn't see the other part of the incident, but it really shook him up. You know, he goes, I don't know if I want to talk about this. He said, he's afraid of losing credibility. But what I did is I got photographs of the footprint of this guy, and we had other witnesses that were there too that saw it at the same time. So.
Sure.
You know, with that, he went public and he talked a lot about it on his show. But there's a lot of, you know, there's a nation, there's a whole nation of them, and they keep to themselves. And, you know, the Native Americans have a saying, you know, if you want to find Bigfoot, you'll never find him. But if he wants to find you, he will. You know?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you have to have the right consciousness.
Well, I think a lot of times, of course, some people, unfortunately, might hunt the Bigfoot and shoot at them
yeah.
and do all kinds of things. So I don't blame them for keeping away.
I don't tell people where, you know, other than my ranch, I don't tell people where the experiences happen, because I've had 3 or 4 other experiences and I know where they hang out.
Right.
I know places you could go up to, but, you know, there's one area they have a big male there and he doesn't like people
right.
coming into his area. He'll let you know about it.
Well,
I don't tell people where these locations are because
sure,
they,
sure.
I think they need to be respected. You know, that's
sure.
their terrain.
Sure, sure. One of the things, and this is serious now, I just got a message from one of your Sasquatches down in your farm, and the reason they don't show up more, especially on hot summer days, is that you don't have cold beer readily available. Just joking, of course, but
we're getting crop circle beer for them. So.
Oh, you are? Fantastic,
yeah.
fantastic.
Whole Bigfoot freezer out there for them.
Well, I'm sure they'd like that. I'm sure they'd like that. Have they ever come down physically? They did come down when I was there. That's a silly question. Have the craft actually landed on your property before, or has that been more kind of an etheric thing that they've come
to? In the very beginning, I had face-to-face contact with physical beings. They were Pleiadians.
Mm-hmm.
But they told me that they couldn't do that anymore. This is, you know, a special event, and they said that because they wanted me to go public and start talking about, you know, who they are and their message and things like that. And they said once I went public, they couldn't come because it was too dangerous, not for them because they're fully protected, but for me.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
The consequences that would come of that. And, you know, I really think about the consequences we're already having there just with
Sure.
With them flying over the ranch, I can imagine what would happen if they actually landed.
Well, this brings up another subject, and I don't want to discuss it too much. I just want to touch upon it briefly. But have you experienced strange aircraft flying overhead over your farm?
There's still there. You know, the conference really shook things up because we had all this, black helicopter activity. But it really escalated the last two or three days after the conference. We had just one chopper after another, circling the ranch, treetop level, flying over, shaking up the house. And, so obviously we put a big dent in the psyche, and they're very concerned with what we're doing there because we're creating alliances. And I know you were part of that alliance, but we
thank you
connected up, some people involved with the secret space fleet as well as the, with the higher dimensional beings as well. That connection was made. And,
right.
And so they're working together, and I know these negative groups that are really concerned about that because they know it's game over for them.
Right. Their days are numbered, and as you've said, resistance is futile.
yeah. But they're going to try, they're going to try to harass and intimidate and, use their psychotronics and their chemtrails and all their other things to try to knock things down. But I think that's going to be coming to a close here pretty quick, and especially just with the things that are unfolding now that a lot of it's because some of the connections made at the ranch.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, friends, I'll be having on a very special guest a week from today, Randy Kramer. He was part of the Mars space program, and he lived on Mars for 17 years. Amazing. And now he's gone public, and one of his first public appearances will be on my show 1 week from today. And joining him, I've invited Michael Sulla from Hawaii, a wonderful UFO researcher. So it should be truly out of this world.
Yeah. That'll be quite a show. I know I just I drove Randy back here to Eugene, and I'm working with some biophysicists and other people here with some technological things. But just driving back with them, the 3-hour drive, boy, we covered a lot of territory.
Wow.
You know, he filled some gaps in that I was asking him questions about, and I filled some gaps in for him. So, all the dimensions are coming together now.
Yeah. Well, you have to remember, and I was just going to check with my sound engineer friend Eric to see if we've got Greg on the line, but working out. We had some trouble with Skype and getting him on board, and so anyway, that's all right.
That happens. It's really weird whenever you're going to do something really critical or make a profound statement or whatever. I've noticed with Skype, we just point, we're gone. We have 4 bars, full signal. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There's some weird thing going on with Skype, and Alfred Weber and I both have been aware of that. Is whenever we get to something really critical, the switch gets flipped.
Well, let me just make a quick one-sentence statement, and I think it'll sum up everything why you sometimes have trouble when you have a very critical show with Skype.
Yeah.
And that is, guess who owns Skype? Yes.
Oh, Microsoft, yeah. I believe.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bill Gates.
Yeah,
so.
Guess who heavily invested in Von Satan and Blackwater and Chemtrail? Same guy.
Mr. Gates. That's right.
So, yeah. So if you're talking about any of the above and exposing this stuff, you're going to lose your connection real fast.
Right. And we've been having trouble now getting Greg back on the line from Japan, but we hope we can. And if not, I'll just have Greg on another show. No worries, because
I'm sure they flipped the switch on him.
They said,
"Oh, happened to me because I couldn't get back on when they flipped the switch on me on other radio shows. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get back on."
Well, guess who's helping us today? The Galactic Alliance, and Ambassador Torellian just popped in. I've been in contact with him for about a year now, and Ambassador Torellian of the Galactic Alliance said just now, "You're protected. Don't worry about it." And actually, as I said that, the entire studio just lit up in this beautiful white light. So
nice. Yeah.
So you've got the same protection. And he said, "Don't worry about Greg. I'll just have him on another show." It's
yeah. He's got a lot to say. The last day, the Japanese group was there that he brought out. We had so much activity in the sky, and they were powering up and turning, and just one after another, and it was just amazing. It was one of the best nights I've seen up there, actually.
Well, one of the things I talked to Randy Kramer the next day. When was it? No, it was during the UFO conference, my friend.
Yeah.
And it was late one night. I'd gone to sleep because I was tired. Anyway, he said that he was talking. Randy's got a microchip in the back of his head that allows him to make phone calls, believe it or not. This sounds like sci-fi. But anyway, he does. And he talked to his friend in one of the U.S. military UFOs. It's a Triangular craft. And he asked him to power up. And his response was, well, I'll probably get in trouble, but I'll do it. So he powered up that night. That's what Randy said. But I'll ask Randy about that a week from today when he's on. So we have back engineered these UFO craft, and we have now, I guess, a whole fleet of it. I don't know. I don't know the details, but Randy was telling me that we have a spacecraft called the Galactic Starship Nautilus. This sounds like Star Trek, but he says it's true.
Yeah. And we have Solar Warden. There's two of them. I think there's the Nautilus and Solar Warden or something like that. They're just massive.
That's right. That's right.
You know, bases. They're like bases, of which the other smaller ships are coming and going. But it's like an intergalactic meeting place, and they're having all kinds of meetings. And I'm not sure the extent of who they're meeting with yet. I'm not sure if they are actually meeting with, you know, like the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, the Sirians, or the Orion Council of Light, or those guys. I'm not sure they're having those meetings yet, but I think that connection just got established at the conference, so they are probably going to start having meetings with the higher dimensional beings.
Right, right. Well, one of the important things that Randy told me, and I know he'll give more details a week from today, that he was ordered to go public with this information, because there's a sector within the U.S. military who are sick and tired of the lies, and they're sick and tired of the cover-up perpetrated by our federal government. And there's a breakaway group of military officers who are tired of it and say, we've ordered you to go public and we're protecting you. And so he is.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's awesome, you know, that he's doing that. I fully support him in getting his message out. I've had him on my show a couple times.
Sure.
And it is really important that gets out there, because and this is the real nuts and bolts side of things that people, you know, have to accept, basically because the evidence is overwhelming that, you know, we do have a secret NASA, you might say, or black project, and that we've been building these things and going back and forth to Mars since 1960. And I've been talking about that for years.
Yeah,
that we've been going back and forth to Mars since 1960, and Randy verified that.
Sure. Well, he told me that there's 6 or 7 million people on Mars living now. That's what he said. And then he said there's another 4 or 5 million on the dark side of the moon.
There's massive bases on both sides.
I mean, and here we are, you know, most of the people, probably 99.999% of the people here on planet Earth have no idea this is going on. And you wonder where your tax dollars go. Where do they go? They go to outer space to finance these places. We have no money for schools. We have no money for health care. True, we have Obamacare, but that's very expensive. We have no money for roads. We have no money to clean up the environment. But we got tons of money to send it off planet to establish these crazy population centers on other planets.
And what's crazy about that too is that technology that they already have could come back to Earth and totally restore the Earth. It would also create complete abundance. You know, there's no reason whatsoever for any famine, you know, any poverty whatsoever.
Right.
Because the assets are there. And, you know, we could do it all. We don't have to hoard, take away from one to give the other anything else, because all we got to do is start releasing this technology, and we'd pretty much end sickness and disease and poverty and everything if we just, you know, especially the military guys, you know, that's lost arms and legs. We have the technology to regrow those, to bring them back to wholeness. And that, to me, is the biggest tragedy, when you have the technology to heal, and children, you know, children dying in these cancer wards and things like shaving their heads and poisoning them, you know. That's not human. You know, that's not being human. That's something else being in control there.
Sure. I just want to say real quick, Greg, I think Eric was able to get you back on. Are you there, my friend? Well, we'll try. We'll try again here. He was on, and then he was gone. So Eric's trying.
They got his number.
Yeah, Eric's trying his best. He gets on, and then he gets off. But that's okay. All right. I wanted to share something very important with both you, James, and my many listeners around the world, and that's that I've had Scott Lemriel on before. He's a friend of mine. He's the author of The Savers Agenda. I had him on about a year ago. We've been fast friends ever since, and he put me in touch with the Galactic Alliance. Oh, and his friend of Astrotrillions here, psychically. He's just entered the scene. Thank you, sir. Wonderful to have you here with us. And he said, Scott and both him and Scott said last year that about 4 years ago now, that the Galactic Alliance was given a directive from the Supreme Being, or the Prime Creator, God, if you will, the entity that created all of this, all that there is in this universe, that things were not going as planned on this planet, and if things didn't if they weren't able to change it, that we would end up in some horrible third world war and the end of planet Earth. And the entities, the benevolent entities in this galaxy said, in this universe, said, no, we're not going to let that happen. And so they were directed about four years ago now to change the timeline and intervene. And they realized that there were a lot of negative forces on this planet. And so what they've been doing is working behind the scenes to restore people's free will across the board, both in the general public, in our military and governments and corporations across the planet, so that people would act in a benevolent manner. Because left alone, the Galactic Alliance has told me, and Scott and Bastard Trilling is saying now, that the true nature of humanity is to be benevolent and good. And this is why, one of the reasons why I really love the work of the Emoto Office and the Emoto Peace Project headed by Mitch Kohayashi and Hiro Emoto in Tokyo, because they do such wonderful work in raising consciousness and teaching people the valuable lessons of love and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, the Galactic Alliance has had to tread very carefully in implementing changes, because if they make the reptilians mad and the greys mad, there is a doomsday bomb that the reptilians have installed on planet Earth, and they can set that off and destroy this planet and make it implode. I'm trying to remember the details. I don't know much about it, except that I think it may use antimatter. But anyway, we would be just totally gone. The planet would be toast. So they've been working behind the scenes to slowly make these changes. And I think between Randy coming out and publicizing his involvement in the Mars space program for the last 17 years, and your efforts, James, so I think that things are slowly changing. There was a very interesting a news conference, or actually a television show that President Obama was on about a month ago, and he was actually a guest on Jerry Kimmel's show. It's a comedy show, and Jerry Kimmel, I don't know if you heard about this, but Dr. Salas has it on his YouTube. I'm going to have him on, talk about it a week from today. Anyway, Kimmel had asked President Obama. He said, well, if I was president, one of the first things I'd ask was whether UFOs are real and what's out there in this universe. Are we all alone? And President Obama, normally when he talks in his news conferences, he's blinking his eyes. But this time his eyes were crystal clear, looking straight ahead, didn't blink at all. And he said in an uninterrupted manner, he said, they tell us everything to say, and we don't have any control anymore. They control they run the whole world. And we're not allowed to talk about them, referring to ETs. And this is referring, of course, to the greys and the reptilians.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott saw that, and I saw that, and Dr. Sala put it up on his website. And it was just fascinating. It was a glimpse into, I think this is a glimpse into truth. This is what Ambassador Trilling is saying. Now, President Obama knows he's controlled, but he's lost his free will. But those controls instituted by the hidden forces that run this planet and the reptilians are slowly being released, being loosened. And this is why you're getting Randy Kramer up now, who's actually ordered by a part of the U.S. military that's sick and tired of all the lies, that's sick and tired of the space program, that wants disclosure, that wants people to learn about all these activities. And so you're going to be seeing, Ambassador Twilling is saying, no, you're going to be seeing a lot more of this in the coming years, and things are starting to turn around.
There's a much bigger part of the story right now is that the benevolent Anunnaki, which that fall in Anunnaki are the ones that actually open the door for the reptilians and the other beings to come into the Earth, have stepped into the picture now. And they operate under universal law, and they're here to right a wrong. You know, they've got karma that they're cleaning up. So they've stepped in, along with the Orion Council of Light and the Pleiadians and the Arcturians, and especially now the Sirians, which are the protectors of the gods, these huge lion beings, and some are seventh-dimensional lion beings. And they've stepped in right now, and the gloves are off, and they're doing a massive cleanup. And they said they've got it down to about, it's almost like 6% left of the really bad nasties, but they've cleaned the rest of it out. And so now you've got the puppets, you know, of these negative entities that are, you know, the Illuminati and the banksters and all these other guys are just floundering because they have no more connection. The puppet masters are gone, and so they're floundering, and their whole kingdom is falling apart. And the grid that they work on, you know, under that, this draconian or archon grid, this network, is actually being trashed and just torn apart, and there's a fifth dimensional grid coming to take its place. So you know, the good news is that, you know, the higher levels are cleaned up, and there's just a little bit more mop up to do, you know, with these other groups, and that we are going to shift, you know, and align ourselves with fifth dimension, and, you know, the tyranny, the days of tyranny and greed and all these other programs are just coming to an end very, very soon.
Well, one of the things that's very important to note, and this is something that Scott Lemriel has pointed out to me, as well as Ambassador Trillian, he says hello to you and to all my listeners of the Galactic Alliance, is that you have to feel sorry for these people in a way, because a lot of them have lost their free will. They're controlled. They're told what to say. They don't have any free will anymore, and so they're acting not according to their own benevolent human agenda, but to the agenda of another species that looks at us like cattle and a resource to be exploited in a very negative way. So you
they don't have access to their soul. There's a wedge between them and their soul. So basically you've got the ego that's being manipulated, you know, from the lower fourth dimension, and they can't even access their soul until these implants or these wedges are taken out.
Right.
And that's the process that's happening right now, is these implants are being removed and taken out, and they're reconnecting some of these people.
Right.
To their soul, which is going to be amazing when they start waking up and coming forward. So it's happening even within the ranks of the dark arts. They're waking up and figuring things out and shifting gears and changing the guard now as well.
Well, I think the best thing to do with negative entities, negative people, is to send them lots of love and light and to take the high road with them. Because if you go down to their level, You end up giving off a lot of negativity, and you can bury yourself in their negativity as well, and then you don't spiritually advance. So it's not like an old Western movie where you seek revenge, because I don't see that happening. I see these I think these souls, the negative souls out there, and the negative ETs, they're just wayward. They're in a failed paradigm. A failed lifestyle that's not going to serve them well during long term. Those old ways of negativity and thinking negative and destruction and war, not going to work anymore.
The grid doesn't support it anymore. So that's these higher beings work from consciousness, the levels of consciousness,
right?
And the vibrational continuum goes from consciousness to light, energy to mass. And so they're adding their consciousness to the Earth grid, and that's tearing down, you know, comes down through the vibrational continuum and starts just cleaning everything else up. So,
right.
So, you know, consciousness is cause, and their consciousness is what's behind this, as well as the source itself. It said, you know, it's finished, enough's enough, and so that's right. We're in that process right now.
Right. Well, I've been on the air, for example, for about 2 years already. I'm one of the most popular talk shows in the KKNW in the Seattle area, as well as the fastest-growing radio show in the world, UFO and metaphysical radio show in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries. So, people want answers, and they're shifting into this other dimensions as well.
I
just want to thank you for that, and thank you for your work, James. Now, the funny thing is, I have a lot of listeners, of course, here in the Seattle area, and most people I tell them where I was this week, and they say, "Huh? What?" They don't know about you. But hopefully, after today's broadcast, that'll all change. We've got some time left. We've got about 5 minutes left. And are there any other topics you'd like to go into in these last minutes of today's first hour?
Well, you know, mainly for people to keep the faith. You know, things are changing, and the old program of manufactured lock and the uneven dispersal wealth, all those things are coming to an end. You know, they can't sustain themselves. And, you know, universal law and is pressing hard, you know, on the earth right now, as well as the, you know, fifth dimensional energy. So, you know, just stop serving the beast. Pull away from it, let it fall, and start creating a different world, a different reality, and that reality will be supported as long as it's in alignment with universal law.
Right. And I've been in touch before with President Kennedy, and he just popped in now, and he's reminded me, hello, sir, he just reminded me back in the early 60s, just before he was assassinated, that was a similar time to now where people's consciousness was really opening up. But then the dark forces got a hold of things. They murdered him, and we got set off in a really stupid war in Vietnam that I can't fathom why we were even there now. But we've had a lot of negativity and water under the bridge now. But since that time, things are starting to turn around, and I think history repeats itself. There's a cycle to history. There's a cycle to this planet. And the same kinds of opportunities for spiritual advancement and the opportunity to create a much better and happier planet that existed back in the late 50s and early 60s has reappeared now. But this time it's going to be different because we're destined to become a far better and far better, happier planet. And that's why what I see for the future for all of humanity.
I agree. As I said before, resistance is futile.
Resistance is futile.
You know, the source itself, along with all the higher dimensions, and they have powers and those beyond our imagination, have decided, you know, and the Earth itself has decided that she's going to go to the next level. So
right.
We need to be frequency specific to the Earth as she makes her transition, or we'll be getting off this planet and working our things out somewhere else.
I just talked to the publicist today for Gordon Davidson. He actually was on Coast to Coast night before last, but he's a fascinating man. He's also been in touch with the Galactic Alliance like I have, and he's seen the same exact message as you are, James. And he'll be on my show in a couple of weeks. I'll have his information posted up on the website, but just getting his booking together today. I just got a call from his publicist in San Francisco, so that should be truly amazing.
Yeah,
truly, truly amazing. During our next hour, we'll be having Joshua Hart on to talk about smart meters, and smart meters is I think a way for the for control. There's a lot of issues with them, including health issues as well as expense issues. But and then I'll be having for the very beginning of the hour Ray Chandran, and then I'll be bringing Ray down to your wonderful ranch. Yes, on the 15th, we're bringing him down. So
can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's in touch with 130 spiritual masters, and I'm really looking forward to you guys connecting because your friends are his friends.
So should be interesting.
You know, you both know the same wonderful entities and spiritual entities. So it should be very, very interesting. We've got 2 minutes to go. And James, I want to have you please have the floor to say anything you'd like to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Yeah, mainly I just want give people hope, you know, and let people know that, you know, these changes are coming down the pike, and we need to be the change we want to see. We can't wait around and expect everybody else to do it for us. And I always tell people we are the ETs we've been waiting for, and we just need to wake up to the fact that, you know, our soul's been all over the galaxy. And we just don't remember, and it's time to remember our Star Nation heritages and start welcoming them back in, because, you know, it is part of the prophecies that, you know, they talk about the beast, you know, the 2,000-mile-wide beast, which is, that's how long it lives, and the beast is all-consuming and all-controlling, and
right.
And they said just when you think there's no hope left, the beast consumes itself, and then we have the 1,000 years of peace, and the Star Nation's return, And I think we're right in the middle of that happening. The beast is about ready to crash in on itself, and then we are going to have the 1,000 years of peace and a huge grand reunion.
There's a line that just popped into my mind. Oh, my spirit friends just wanted me to share this with my many listeners. There's an old Mamas and Papas song from the 60s, and it says, the darkest hour is just before dawn. In other words...
Yeah.
Yeah. So it should... things are just right around the corner, my friends. Things are already changing. If you look... There's a lot of positive news out there, including your work, James. And I think I do my best to try to raise consciousness and make this world a better place, too, on my radio program. James,
all right.
Thank you so much for coming on, my friends. Ambassador Trillian, thanks you of the Galactic Alliance. And you're really wonderful to have you on. Stay tuned for
all
our
right,
next
thanks.
Hour. Okay, James. Bye-bye. Bye.